Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Homeboy Industries founder to speak at OC. In a special one-time presentation, Odessa College presents Father Greg Boyle, founder and executive director of Homeboy Industries, the largest gang intervention, rehabilitation, and reentry program in the world. For more than three decades, this nonprofit organization has provided wraparound services, offering life skills, jobs, and hope to thousands of former gang members and ex-felons in Los Angeles. At 6 p.m. November 14th in the OC Sports Center, the college will host Jobs, Not Jails, the teaching of Father Greg Boyle. Joining Father Boyle will be two homeboys who will share how Homeboy Industries changed their lives through education, counseling, and job training. The event is free and open to the public. RSVP at the following link, tinyurl.com/4T9K8MMK. Father Boy, a native Angelino and Jesuit priest from 1986 to 1992, served as pastor of Dolores Mission Church in Boyle Heights, then the poorest Catholic parish in Los Angeles, that also had the highest concentration of gang activity in the city. Father Boyle witnessed the devastating impact of gang violence on his community during the so-called Decade of Death that began in the late 1980s and peaked at 1,000 gang-related killings in 1992. In the face of law enforcement tactics and criminal justice policies of suppression and mass incarceration as the means to end gang violence, he and parish and community members adopted what was a radical approach at the time, treat gang members as human beings, a news release said. In 1988, they started what would eventually become Homeboy Industries, which employs and trains former gang members in a range of social enterprises as well as provides critical services to thousands of men and women who walk through its doors every year seeking a better life. Local and state news roundup. Odessan arrested on weapon charges. A 20-year-old Odessa man was arrested Tuesday on two weapon charges following an investigation into a September fight. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers received a fight call from a convenience store on East 8th Street, September 11th, and when they were on their way, dispatchers reported someone had fired off four or five shots. When officers arrived, a large group of people involved in the fight had left, but the officers found four 9mm casings in the parking lot, the report stated. Surveillance video showed multiple people fighting in the parking lot, and a man wearing a yellow t-shirt, black and white Nikes, and light blue torn jeans taking a handgun out of his pocket and firing around before walking out of camera view, the report stated. The same man was also seen inside the store. According to the report, the man was identified as Christian Organ, and Organ is seen wearing the same clothes in photos on a social media webpage the night of the shooting. The report states he is holding a gun in one hand in the pictures and a large plastic bag of what appears to be marijuana in the other hand. Organ was booked into the Ector County Jail Tuesday on the third-degree felony of deadly conduct, discharging a firearm, and on the misdemeanor charge of discharging a firearm in certain municipalities. He remains in the Ector County Jail Wednesday afternoon on surety bonds totaling $30,000. Man admits shooting wife's vehicle. A 43-year-old Ector County man was arrested Thursday after admitting he shot up his wife's work vehicle during an argument. According to an Ector County Sheriff's Office report, deputies were dispatched to the 7,000 block of Jane Avenue around 3 a.m. Thursday about a disturbance. When deputies arrived, Mario Avila told them he'd been arguing with his wife and he shot up the 2022 Lincoln SUV she drives to work. Deputies saw bullet holes in the driver's side door and driver's side back door, the report stated. Avila was arrested on suspicion of deadly conduct, a third-degree felony, and criminal mischief, a state jail felony. He was released from the Ector County Jail Monday after posting surety bonds totaling $4,500. Odessan facing felony theft charges. An Odessa man is facing a felony charge after he was caught on video surveillance stealing copper from Oxy USA on West Mockingbird Lane in Ector County. According to an Ector County Sheriff's Office report, deputies received a theft-in-progress call from the company around 3:20 a.m. Friday, and when they arrived, they found Richard Chipman, 52, roughly 60 yards from the business. They also found a hole cut in the south fence with spooled and cut copper wiring and tools on the outside of the hole, the report stated. Deputies were provided surveillance video showing Chipman and another man entering the property and pulling wire through the hole in the fence, the report stated. Chipman admitted he entered the property, but said he was unaware that the other person was also taking items from the building located on the property, the report stated. Chipman was arrested on suspicion of burglary of a building and theft of material, both a state jail felony punishable by 6 months to 2 years in prison. He was arrested Tuesday after posting bond totaling $5,000. Man accused of assaulting officer. A 49-year-old man is facing up to 20 years in prison after being accused of repeatedly biting an Odessa Police Department officer despite knowing he has an illness transmitted through blood. According to OPD report, Ernesto Salas was brought into Medical Center Hospital October 16th for reasons that were related to the report that he was handcuffed due to a protective custody order. Shortly before 2 a.m. October 17th, Salas is accused of twice biting an officer on the hand when the officer tried to stop Salas from removing his handcuffs, the report stated. Salas was arrested on Friday on separate warrants, charging him with a misdemeanor traffic infraction and assault on a peace officer, a second-degree felony. He remains in the Ector County Jail on surety bonds totaling $20,500. Brownwood man killed in a wreck. A 31-year-old Brownwood man died in a two-vehicle collision in the 6,000 block of East I-20 and Odessa Police Department press release detailed. The reported fatal collision happened at 11:50 p.m. Tuesday. Investigation showed that a white 2022 Dodge Ram 2500 pulling a trailer was traveling eastbound in the 6,000 block of East I-20. A blue 2013 Kenwood pulling a Wabash box trailer was also traveling eastbound in the 6,000 block of East I-20 ahead of the Dodge. The driver of the Dodge, later identified as 31-year-old Daniel Salas of Brownwood, struck the rear of the Wabash trailer. Salas was pronounced dead at the scene and next of kin have been notified. The press release stated other occupants of the Dodge were transported to Medical Center Hospital. The investigation continues. Today's obituaries for November 3rd. Donald Leon Wise, 72, passed away peacefully and surrounded by his family on October 23rd in his home of Springtown. Don is survived by his wife Pamela, daughter Michelle Stillman, sister Judith Shields, and husband Gary Shields, stepdaughters Diana Frame and Stephanie Dinsk, and several grandchildren. Don is preceded in death by his parents, Ballard and Billy Wise, sister Mona Taylor, and his first wife, Brenda Wise. Funeral Mass will be held on November 4th at St. Anne's Catholic Church in Midland. Services will begin at 10. Flowers will be coordinated by Flowerama Florist, 432-697-0255 in Midland. Charitable contributions may be made to St. Jude's Children's Hospital and Disabled American Veterans. Robert Charles R.C. Crow, 80, of Odessa, died Monday, October 31st in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. November 4th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Jonathan Coleman is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram for Health and Wellness for Wednesday, November 2nd, 2022. November brings attention to lung cancer. November is Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Advocacy groups like Lung Force unite women, men, and caregivers to stand together against lung cancer. They work to increase awareness of lung cancer and provide hope to those impacted by lung cancer. Lung Force aims to change minds about what it means to have lung cancer, so everyone understands anyone can get lung cancer and no one deserves it. They raise their voices for research innovation that will lead to new treatments and better methods of early detection. Here are some statistics about lung cancer from the American Cancer Society. Lung cancer still causes more than 350 deaths each day, the highest number of deaths for all types of cancer, more than breast, prostate, and pancreatic cancers combined. It causes 2.5 times more deaths than colorectal cancer, the second leading cause of death from cancer in the U.S. About 8 out of 10, 81%, deaths from lung cancer in 2022 are expected to be caused from smoking cigarettes. Both the amount and how long someone smokes increase risk of dying from lung cancer. People who smoke are about 25 times more likely to develop lung cancer than those who never smoked. Secondhand smoke causes almost 3% of new diagnoses of lung cancer and is expected to cause about 3% of deaths from it in 2022. After smoking, the next leading cause of lung cancer is exposure to radon gas, which is released from soil and can build up indoors. Non-smoking related deaths from lung cancer would rank as the eighth leading cause of death from cancer if they were classified separately. About 236,740 cases of lung cancer will be diagnosed, and approximately 130,180 people will die from lung cancer in the U.S. in 2022. There are several ways you can show your support of raising awareness for lung cancer in November. White is the official color of the ribbon for lung cancer awareness. During November, wear a white ribbon or wear white jewelry, such as pearls, to show your support for lung cancer awareness. Make a donation to lung cancer research. For lung cancer-specific donations, make a donation via the American Lung Association's website. It's the season of respiratory infections. COVID-19, respiratory syncytial virus, and influenza are respiratory infections caused by different viruses. The concern is that each has overlapping symptoms and all are arriving together. There are ways to keep these viruses at bay as the U.S. enters the colder months. Quote, we're not really in a COVID-19 season or flu season, but in a respiratory infection season, end quote, said Dr. John O'Hora, an infection diseases specialist at Mayo Clinic. Quote, it's impossible to distinguish based on symptoms from a regular cold to RSV to COVID-19 or flu, especially if you have a mild case. But you can still transmit all of these to others, end quote. He says people should look at this as more of a global question. Quote, what can I do to prevent respiratory infections as opposed to what can I do to prevent COVID-19? And the answers are staying up to date on your vaccines, COVID-19 and the flu, wearing a mask in the appropriate settings, or if you're a person who's at exceptional risk, hand washing and doing everything you can if you do get sick to prevent spreading to others. That includes trying to stay home from work if you can, wearing a mask consistently if you have any kind of symptoms, and being extraordinarily diligent about measures like hand washing, end quote, says Dr. Ohuru. COVID-19. Many of the COVID-19 Omicron variants are now in circulation. B11529, BA1, BA11, BA2, BA3, BA4, and BA5 are closely monitored by scientists, including those with the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the World Health Organization. Quote, the important thing to know about these subvariants is that each of them is still Omicron, end quote, Ohuru said. They have the same features that Omicron has. It's highly transmissible. It's not leading to the same degree of hospitalizations or deaths that we saw with previous variants. And your chances of getting severe illness remain much lower if you are vaccinated and up to date with your vaccines. End quote. What's happening with the Omicron variants in the U.S. is being seen elsewhere around the globe, Ohuru said. Quote, and that's the same that we're seeing across the entire world at this point. End quote, Ohuru said. Quote, everywhere. The Omicron subvariants are becoming more dominant. There is more of what's called immune escape, where those who have previous infection or particularly previous vaccines that were a long time ago are more likely to get infected. But there still seems to be a substantial benefit to updating your vaccine now compared to being previously vaccinated or infective, end quote. Natural surge. Ohuru said an increase in COVID-19 and other respiratory infections is likely due to the upcoming colder months and holiday season. Quote, we've always thought there would be some seasonality to COVID-19, end quote, Ohuru said. Quote, and coming into the holidays especially, we can expect that we're going to see an increase in cases. We will probably see an increase in hospitalizations as well, in part to the natural surge that we're seeing and in part to seeing low uptake of the bivalent booster vaccines. Hopefully, we'll see that increase with the vaccinations and blunt some of that, but this is a respiratory infection season. And it's not just COVID-19 that we have to worry about this time. Influenza levels are likely to increase as well, and this is expected to be a more severe flu season because we've had 2 years without a flu season, end quote. Prevent respiratory infections. Ohuru said, studies show the COVID-19 bivalent booster vaccines offer a substantial benefit. He recommends everyone who is eligible should get vaccinated. Along with ensuring you are fully vaccinated for COVID-19 and flu, there are many other protective measures you can take to ensure you and your family remain healthy. While masking may not be practiced universally, wearing a mask when you have respiratory infection symptoms will help prevent others from getting sick, Ohuru said. Quote, as you enter this season, it's going to be natural to have cold, sniffles, flu, and COVID-19 infections. It's just more likely to occur, end quote, he said. Quote, if that happens, getting tested is important to avoid exposure and exposing others if you have symptoms, whether COVID-19 or not. Masking is still an excellent way to prevent others from getting sick, end quote. Research. 1 in 10 older adults in U.S. has dementia. 1 in 10 U.S. adults over 65 has dementia, a study suggests, while 1 in 5 has cognitive difficulties. Published October 24th in JAMA Neurology, the research updates 20-year-old estimates of the number of older Americans with dementia and mild cognitive impairment. The research relied on data from the Health and Retirement Study, which studies aging in a nationally representative group of older adults. Between 2001 and 2003, a small subset of that group had neuropsychiatric testing, but the national estimates that resulted haven't been updated since. For the current study, researchers looked at 2016-17 test results from 3,500 study participants 65 and older. The battery of tests measured their memory, attention, comprehension, and such factors as whether they were able to live independently and how their abilities had changed over the previous decade. The results suggest that 10% of U.S. adults 65 and older have dementia, while 22% have mild cognitive impairment, in which memory and other functions deteriorate. The latter condition is thought to occur during the transition to dementia. Although the rates were about even for men and women, they skewed higher with age, while 3% of people in their 60s had dementia, that figure rose to 35% for people in their 90s. The dementia rate was higher for older adults who identify as Black or African American than for their counterparts. While 15% of older Black people have dementia, only 11% of older white adults and 10% of older Hispanic people do. Older Hispanic adults were more likely to have mild cognitive impairment than their counterparts. Dementia varied by education level. 2. 13% of people with no high school diploma had dementia, dropping to 9% for those who finished high school or attended college. Those disparities have long been linked to systemic racism and other factors, and marginalized groups are underrepresented in studies of cognitive impairment. Lead author Jennifer J. Manley, a professor of neuropsychology and neurology at Columbia University, said in a news release, older adults who don't identify as white, quote, have been historically excluded from dementia research, but are at higher risk of developing cognitive impairment because of structural racism and income inequality, end quote. Losing 11 pounds can make all the difference for healthy knees. Gaining even a small amount of weight may not only damage your knees, leading to pain, stiffness, and mobility issues, but also increase your odds of needing knee replacement surgery, according to research presented last month at the International Congress on Obesity. Among study participants, a gain of just 11 pounds made total knee replacement 34% more likely for women and 25% more likely for men. The finding stems from the researchers' review of two studies involving some 264,000 people. Overall, however, they reviewed data from 23 studies focusing on the relationship between weight gain and knee osteoarthritis, and finding that as weight increased, participants' symptoms and radiographic scans of their knees indicated worsening osteoarthritis. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention cites osteoarthritis as the most common type of arthritis. More than 32 million American adults have the degenerative joint disease. It can damage any joint, but the knees are one of the most commonly affected joints. Osteoarthritis develops when the cartilage that acts as a cushion between the bones in a joint breaks down or wears away, given the condition its, quote, wear and tear, end quote, disease nickname. This leads the bones in the joint to rub together, causing pain, stiffness, and movement issues. No cure exists for knee osteoarthritis, but treatment may include medication, physical therapy, and activity modifications. If that proves to be insufficient, knee replacement surgery may be an option, with arthritic parts of the joint removed and replaced with metal, plastic, or ceramic parts. First performed in the 1960s, the surgery has become fairly common, according to the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, with more than 750,000 knee replacements done each year in the United States. Based on their findings, the researchers suggest that preventing weight gain, which they say is easier than losing weight, should reduce the risk for knee osteoarthritis and the number of needed knee replacements.
Aspirin, Aleve, taken together. Dear Dr. Roach, each night I take 81 milligrams of aspirin for heart attack prevention and an Aleve for arthritis, along with other medications. My daughter said these two should not be taken together, as the effect of each one cancels out the other. PAA. Answer, I always recommend caution when using an anti-inflammatory medicine like naproxen, Aleve, and many others, along with aspirin, because they can predispose patients to stomach ulcers and bleeding in other parts of the body as well. Recent studies have shown that unless a person's risk of heart disease is very high, aspirin is more likely to cause problems than prevent them. Aspirin should be taken by nearly everyone who has had a heart attack or blockages in their arteries, as well as most people who have had a stroke, or by people whose doctor have gone over their individual risks and benefits and have recommended that the benefits of aspirin outweigh the risks. People taking aspirin who don't fit into these groups should revisit its needs when they visit their regular doctor or specialist who has been prescribing it. In people who take aspirin, the use of anti-inflammatory drugs like naproxen, ibuprofen, and others can increase risk of bleeding. Thus, they should be taken only when they are worth the risk. and may be best avoided by people at certain risk of bleeding. Finally, naproxen and similar drugs have a small but real risk of heart attack and stroke, and their use should be minimized as much as possible, especially in people at increased risk of cardiovascular disease. Tylenol and topical anti-inflammatories work well for many people with arthritis symptoms and are generally safer choices.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, November 3rd. Grandma raising boy is eager to live her life. Dear Abby, I have been raising my daughter's first child. Joey is 10, and he has been living with my husband and me full-time for 4 years. I love him very much and enjoy being his mom, but I'm not good at helping him with homework. My daughter doesn't have time for him. She has two other kids with a different dad. The stepdad has no desire to be a dad to Joey. I am Joey's everything. My life revolves around him, but Abby, at 52, I feel I have earned the right to do as I want at this time in my life. I feel I would be punishing Joey if I gave him back to his mom to raise. His biological father is not in his life, although the paternal grandparents are in contact with him. Your thoughts on this situation? Signed, Like a Mom in South Carolina. Dear Like a Mom, gladly, when Joey is 18, you will be 60. That is not over the hill. Please do not give up on your grandson at this point. As you stated, you are everything to him, and in this case, it is literally true. Joey's paternal grandparents did a terrible job raising their irresponsible son. Would you really consider turning Joey over to them to mess up? Stay the course. Dear Abby, my husband has cerebral palsy. He can talk, but his speech is slightly slurred. He can walk, but he's unsteady on his feet. We love to go out and have a few drinks, but the issue is that people think he is intoxicated. We have been thrown out of places. We were almost thrown out of a rideshare service until I told the driver he has a disability. We were at a concert going up the steps. I was holding beers, and everyone stared at him, thinking he was drunk. Do you have any advice, short of putting up a sign that he is disabled? Signed, Social Spouse. Dear Spouse, your husband should not have to display a sign. When you go to a bar or a restaurant, inform the manager or the bartender as soon as you enter that your husband has a disability that affects his balance. While it won't work in large crowds such as at a concert, it should save you and your husband from any misunderstandings in smaller venues. Dear Abby, one of the last times we hung out, a friend made a comment about my size. She said, quote, "I shouldn't complain about my weight gain. I'm smaller than you." It was really rude. I thought about that comment and how to approach it for a week, and when I saw her next, I asked her not to bring up my size when she complains about hers. Instead of apologizing, she spent 15 minutes justifying what she said, but there was no real justification. Since then, I have avoided her. She keeps reaching out and asking to spend time with me, but at this point, I don't feel I should. What would you do? Signed, Offended in Hawaii. Dear Offended, I would tell her no, and I would tell her in no uncertain terms exactly why.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.